Well, summer is almost here. Who likes sitting in the sun? Yeah, getting the warmth of the sun on us. And it's lovely, isn't it? It's delicious. Don't sit in the sun too long. Don't get sunburnt. But to sit in the warmth of the sun, well, what a lovely thing that is. And our passage in Malachi chapter 4 speaks of the sun of righteousness rising with healing in its wings. But also it speaks of a furnace of fire. So really that's the contrast that we'll be exploring in these verses in Malachi chapter 4. A furnace of fire or a healing sun. Let's see what the passage teaches us. Well, first of all, notice the day. And three times in these verses, the day is mentioned. Surely the day is coming, it says. And then later in verse 1, that day that is coming. And at the end of verse 3, on the day when I do these things. The day is coming, that day that is coming, the day when I do these things. It's as if God has a calendar and one of the days has got a big circle round it with a red marker. That's the day. And it's marked on God's calendar, as it were, a set day, a specific day, an approaching day. Notice twice there, the day is coming. It's coming, that day that God has set. And it's a day that's a day of decisive and final divine intervention, when the distinction between the righteous and the wicked will become evident. See, that's how chapter 3 ends. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The next verse actually begins with a for, or because the day is surely coming. And the wicked are going to be burned up, as in a furnace. The righteous will have this sun of righteousness shine on them. And so it's a day of God's decisive action, when finally he makes that great distinction between the wicked and the righteous. It's a day that's been referred to already, again at the end of chapter 3, verse 17. We read, they will be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And in the beginning of chapter 3, as well, this day is referred to. Malachi chapter 3 says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? So it's a day that's spoken of, the day of the coming of this promised one. Referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's the day that God had set on his calendar, when the Lord Jesus would come. It was the day that the whole Old Testament was moving towards and preparing for, the coming of the Lord Jesus. It was viewed by the Old Testament prophets as a great mountain out there on the horizon. And that everything was heading towards that huge mountain on the horizon. Perhaps, actually, as we get closer, we realise that that mountain is actually made up of two peaks, one behind the other. The first coming of the Lord Jesus in humiliation, when he came as a helpless baby to be born of Mary. But then his second coming in glory and majesty to judge the world. His first coming to accomplish redemption. His second coming to execute judgment. And the Old Testament prophets sometimes blend those days together as one day. And yet we can see, as we look in the New Testament, that there are two parts, as it were, to the coming of the Lord Jesus. They are inextricably linked together. His first coming is the precursor of the second coming. So that day, the day, it refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we'll see that it's his first coming as well as his second coming that Malachi has in mind. The day God circled the day on his calendar. Christ has come. And yet there's another day circled when he will come again in glory and majesty. The day. But then Malachi describes the devastation. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. So if you take stubble, which is like the straw you get after they've done the harvest in the field, and you put that in a furnace, what will happen to the stubble? It will get burned up completely. You might remember, when I was younger, I remember after they'd done the harvesting and just the straw was left in the field, you remember what they used to do to it? They used to set light to it. And you'd have these huge fires burning up all the stubble that was left in the field. I think the EU stopped us doing that. Probably not a bad thing. But that's the picture, isn't it, of this terrible devastation. That day will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch or a stalk will be left to them. That's reminding us that there'll be no hope. The roots will be burnt up as well. There'll be no hope of recovery. It'll be total devastation and destruction. Well, who is it who will suffer in that way? All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. They're the people who've been referred to back in verse 15 that we read of chapter 3. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper. Those who appear happy and prosperous at present, the day will come when that will all change. Those arrogant and evildoers who these people think they've got it all right, their life's good for them, well, the day is coming when that will all change and they will be burnt up. The arrogant, the word in the Hebrew language has the idea of being inflated. You know, when you blow something up and it gets inflated. I think there are people who are puffed up with self. They are self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-satisfied. They're puffed up with themselves. I don't need God. That's a crutch for the weak. I don't need God. They're puffed up. They're arrogant. The evildoers, the workers of wickedness. Those doing what is evil and wicked in God's sight. And we have this imagery then of fire that will burn them up. Imagery that is used repeatedly in the Bible of the great judgment of God. This is what John the Baptist said, whose coming is also mentioned in this passage. But John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, when he was speaking of the Lord Jesus, introducing Jesus, Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist has this prophecy in mind that the Lord Jesus will come, gather his wheat into the barn, but burning up the chaff, the rubbish, the arrogant and evildoers with unquenchable fire. And of course, it's the first coming of the Lord Jesus that establishes and sets up that great difference that's going to happen. So we read, for instance, in John chapter 3 verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So the Lord Jesus is the one who sets the difference between people on that day. Those who don't believe in the Son, God's wrath remains on them. And they will suffer that terrible judgment. And so again, the Bible depicts this scene for us. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. That great fiery judgment that Jesus will bring when he returns in glory. Yeah. And so Peter too, in his second letter, speaks of this and uses that same imagery. But the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So the Bible makes very clear that there is going to come a day of terrible judgment, when God's anger will be poured out through the Lord Jesus Christ on those who have, in their arrogance, thought they don't need God, where self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-satisfied, those who do evil, they won't escape. God's judgment will one day fall, bringing utter devastation. But that's not where Malachi leaves us. He speaks also of the dawn. Yes, that day that God has set, the devastation that it will bring, but also it will be a glorious dawn. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The Son of Righteousness will rise, a glorious dawn. And again, light shining in the darkness is a common Bible image for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9 and the first two verses, uses this imagery. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Luke and chapter 1, when the father of John the Baptist praises God at John's birth, he says this: "You, my child," John the Baptist, "you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." That glorious dawn, when light shines into the gloom and darkness. In the beginning of John's Gospel, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, this glorious dawn. And it's a son, notice, a son of righteousness. This coming one to bring light brings the light of righteousness. He is characterized by righteousness. He is altogether right in God's sight. All he does is right in God's sight. And he's the one who dispenses righteousness. He is the Son who is made of righteousness. He is the Son who shines out righteousness on others. And so this Son of Righteousness rises, this great glorious dawn, with healing in its wings. Wings, I think, speaks of the beams or rays of the sun as they spread speedily across the land, as the beams of the sun spread out. It's like wings spreading out across the land. It brings healing, the healing of guilt. Guilt's a terrible thing, isn't it? Terrible thing. How do we get rid of our guilt? Well, the Son of Righteousness rises with healing for guilt. He's the Son of Righteousness, and his righteousness is imputed to us when we believe in him, when we allow his light to shine upon us. That righteousness is accounted ours. His rightness is made ours, so that in God's sight, we are no longer guilty. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are healed of our guilt, but we're also healed of the pollution of sin. His righteousness is imparted to us by his Holy Spirit who lives within us. He gives us new life so that we live changed lives, no longer in the service of sin, but in the service of God. His healing of justification, his righteousness imputed to us, the healing of sanctification, his righteousness imparted to us. He rises with healing for those diseased by guilt and sin's pollution, which will lead to an exuberance. I think that's the picture that's painted for us in the rest of the verse. For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. I think it's a picture of calves who have been kept in the stall, and they're released to go out into the meadow. And they leap with exuberance that they can now enjoy this freedom in the eat to their full. Well, that's a picture of the exuberance that we have when this Son of Righteousness shines upon us. We have it now. We are filled with a glorious and inexpressible joy. Our guilt is gone. We have new life. And yet, it will be even more exuberant when Christ returns and takes us to be with him in glory. What exuberance, what joy we will then know and experience. And so this glorious dawn, it happens, of course, in Christ's first coming. He comes as the light to bring light. And yet again, it points forward to his return, when for those who revere God's name, what a dawn that will be, taken to be with Christ, released from death, and then to be with Christ in glory forever. Exuberance and joy, unimaginable. And so that's the picture that Malachi paints for us: a furnace of fire or a healing sun. That day will bring both. The day when Christ returns, it will bring both. He will come, as we read in Thessalonians, with flaming fire. And yet he will come for those who are his with healing and restoring grace. So I wonder, have you applied Factor 50 sun cream of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-satisfaction? I don't need that light. I don't need that. I'm going to put sun cream on because I don't want that light to shine on me. Perhaps you've put these blackout curtains up. I don't know if you heard about the English football team. They've been complaining that they can't sleep because it's too light. So they've had blackout curtains put up to keep the light out. Perhaps you're trying to keep the light of Christ out of your life. I don't want that light to shine on me. I'm comfortable as I am. I don't want to be changed. I don't want to be exposed. Well, you're still in the dark, diseased, and facing ruin. Alternatively, we can come to Jesus for healing. We can expose ourselves to this Son of Righteousness. We can allow his healing beams to penetrate our lives. so that we can be freed from the guilt of sin. And we can be increasingly freed from the pollution of sin as he shines on us with his grace and mercy and love. So the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will return. The day is marked on God's calendar. We don't know when it is, but it's coming. It's approaching. He will come with blessings untold, or with judgment unimaginable. Which will it be for you? Let's pray. Our God, we do thank you that your word is very clear and direct. Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear what you say in your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Thank you that he arose on our darkness and our disease to bring life and health if we will but believe in him and trust him as Saviour. Lord, we pray that you will forgive us then for our arrogance and our evil doing. Thank you that we can know Christ as our Saviour now and be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy as we await blessings untold when he returns. May this be our portion, Lord, for each of us, for Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen.